This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mueller objects. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Ross Akay. On this Wednesday, May 1st, here's what we have for you this hour.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller says Attorney General William Barr's letter to Congress summarizing his office investigation failed to fully capture the context and substance of their probe.
A shooting at UNC Charlotte leaves at least two dead.
Venezuelan opposition leader Guaido calls for a larger uprising.
And House Democrats and President Trump are gearing up for a battle over subpoenas.
Well, what's happening is a consequence of divided governments. So Democrats took over the House of Representatives in January, and with that comes the power to investigate. They inherit all the committee's powers to subpoena people, to make people turn over documents, to appear for testimony, and that is exactly what's happening vis-a-vis the Trump administration.
Byron Tao, The Wall Street Journal, will be here in about 10 minutes with that story. A gunman said to have been a student opened fire in a building at the University of North Carolina's Charlotte campus, killing two people and wounding four others, three of them critically. Campus Police Chief Jeff Baker says his emergency dispatch office first received a call about an individual armed with a pistol who had shot several students. Several campus police officers responded to the call and entered the building and disarmed the gunman.
I think that all of it happened very quickly, obviously, for us to get in the room and take him into custody. It occurred fast. He never had time to even get out of the room.
The accused shooter was identified as 22-year-old Tristan Terrell. Officials offered no explanation for what might have precipitated the shooting, and it was unclear whether the assailant knew any of his victims. The gun violence, coinciding with the last day of classes for the academic year, prompted a security lockdown of the entire campus as police swept the university one building at a time, evacuating students as they progressed. This student, who was nearby, says there was no warning.
It happened out of nowhere. I didn't recognize him. I don't know him. He just came out of nowhere.
The university said final exams will be postponed through Sunday. Special Counsel Robert Mueller told Attorney General William Barr that his four-page letter summarizing the findings of the Russia investigation failed to fully capture the team's work and threatened the public's confidence in the results of the probe. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
Mueller stated his concerns in a letter he sent March 27th after Barr publicly announced that the special counsel's investigation hadn't found that the Trump campaign conspired with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. The letter will likely fuel criticism from Democrats that Barr oversimplified the report's findings. It offered the clearest indication to date of disagreement between Mueller and Barr over the handling of the investigation and its consequential findings. The letter, first reported by The Washington Post, is also sure to be a focal point when Barr testifies about the handling of Mueller's report today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Jen?
Democrats say the letter reinforces their insistence that Mueller himself testify on Capitol Hill. With President Trump vowing to fight all the subpoenas, the Democratic-led House is gearing up for a protracted legal battle over its power to enforce demands for documents and testimony from the administration. Democrats have aggressively issued subpoenas since taking over the House in January, including calling for an unredacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. The White House and Justice Department have ordered several current and former administration officials not to testify. Now what? Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao takes a look. Byron, what's happening with all this?
Well, what's happening is a consequence of divided governments. So Democrats took over the House of Representatives in January, and with that comes the power to investigate. They inherit all the committee's powers to subpoena people, to make people turn over documents, to appear for testimony, and that is exactly what's happening vis-a-vis the Trump administration.
Byron, how many different House committees have issued subpoenas or plan to at this point?
I've lost count, but it's at least more than a half dozen and probably substantially more. The main committees are the Judiciary Committee, which is looking at a broad sort of investigation into abuses of power and obstruction of justice, the Intelligence Committee, which is looking at questions of Russian interference in the 2016 election still, and as well as the Oversight Committee, which has a pretty broad mandate to root out waste, fraud, and abuse within the federal government. In addition to that, there's some others like the Financial Services Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, which does taxation, which are looking into some matters related to the president's personal finances. So there's certainly a number of major subpoena fights slash investigations going on Capitol Hill, most of which are directed either at President Trump personally or members of his administration.
When the Republicans were in control of the House, did they do this to the Obama administration?
This is a long tradition of opposite party oversight. When you control one or both of the houses of Congress and the presidency is of a different party, there just tends to be more investigations and more oversight. Now, usually the administration, regardless of who's in power, calls it a political witch hunt, and the members of Congress say they're doing their constitutional duty to oversee and supervise and investigate where they see wrongdoing. But this is something that happened under the Obama administration when Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate. It's something that happened during the Bush administration, during the periods when the Democrats controlled the Senate briefly and then the House starting in 2006. And this is certainly something that happened during the Clinton years. A number of major investigations were conducted on Capitol Hill.
How far can this go? Because obviously these House committees have issued subpoenas. The president has basically said we're not cooperating. What's next? The Supreme Court?
Yeah, so a congressional subpoena is a funny thing. So it has the same legal status as any subpoena that you get from a grand jury or from a federal agency or from a judge. It is a legal summons to either show up in person or to turn over documents and other information. But Congress, unlike the administration, has real difficulty enforcing these things. They don't really have much of a police force. They don't really have much of a jail. And they can't really force people who refuse to comply to essentially do what they want. So Congress has long sort of struggled with how to make people who won't cooperate. And that's sort of where we are now. Traditionally, administrations have avoided these kind of showdowns because they wanted to seem like they were cooperating. They didn't want to seem like they were playing hardball or hiding anything. But I think at this point in time, both the Democrats in the House and Donald Trump see political advantages to fighting. And so we're at a real sort of impasse and a real sort of hardball moment here. Most likely these things are going to end up in the courts.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao about his piece entitled House Democrats and Trump Gear Up for Battle Over Subpoenas. You said the White House has gone so far now as to assign one of its lawyers to actually serve as deputy press secretary just to respond to the subpoenas.
That's right, to respond to media questions about the petition. To that, the White House counsel has also been preparing and gearing up and bringing on staff. And the same on the House side. The House tapped a veteran lawyer who spent 40 years at the Justice Department, sort of in the trenches of these fights when he was on the other side, and he has plenty of experience litigating and is going to probably be a very aggressive force in making sure that the House of Representatives' position in any court battle is represented and represented well.
Thanks, Byron. Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao. It's 14 minutes after the hour. Coming up, unrest in Venezuela.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train.
Have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Wednesday. Well, thousands of Venezuelans clashed in the streets with pro-government forces following a call by opposition leader Juan Guaido to join him and a small group of military officers in overthrowing President Nicolas Maduro's government. The violence ensued after Guaido, joined by a small group of rebellious troops outside a Caracas military base, called on the public to help end an economic and political crisis under Maduro. Guaido is viewed by the U.S. and more than 50 other nations as Venezuela's legitimate leader following a 2018 election that was marred by fraud allegations. National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Obviously, our hope is that we can get a change in the regime in Caracas as soon as possible so that Venezuelans can return and help rebuild their country. We don't want to send anybody back into what is now, obviously, an even more dangerous situation, and that's the policy we've been pursuing.
Protests continued last evening, but there was no sign the rebellion had succeeded in ousting Maduro, despite repeated expressions of U.S. support by the Trump administration for Guaido. In a video released on social media, Guaido called for continued protests today. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, final exams for the rest of the week are canceled at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte after two people were killed and four injured in a shooting on the campus late yesterday. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
This is a tragic day at this great university, the city of Charlotte, and the state of North Carolina.
The suspected shooter is in custody, identified as 22-year-old Tristan Terrell, a history major taking one class. House Judiciary Committee Chair Congressman Jerry Nadler wants a copy of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's letter to Attorney General William Barr immediately. Mueller wrote Barr to complain that Barr's four-page summary of the Trump-Russia investigation missed the point and didn't fully capture the context, nature, and substance of the probe or its conclusions. Barr is set to testify before Congress about the Russia probe over the next 2 days. As Jen's been telling us, it's a chaotic time in Venezuela, where authorities say they've put down a coup attempt after protesters supporting opposition leader Juan Guaido clashed with the military defending President Nicolas Maduro in the capital, Caracas. A federal judge in Scranton late yesterday threw out former Penn State President Graham Spanier's child endangerment conviction. He was due to start serving his two-month sentence today. The judge ruled Spanier was improperly charged under a 2007 law for what occurred in 2001 when he was dealing with a complaint about Jerry Sandusky showering with a boy on campus. State prosecutors have 3 months to retry Spanier. 65-year-old Larry Joe Scott is under arrest in Bradenton, Florida, after investigators in Durham, North Carolina, retested a rape kit taken at the scene of a 1972 cold case murder of a woman who was left dead with her baby still alive and cradled in her arms. Johnston County Sheriff Steve Bizzle.
Yesterday, I was able to look that little baby boy, who is now a grown man, in the eyes, and I was able to tell him, "We have found and arrested your mother's murderer."
That son is now 47 years old. Samsung's new vertical TV is aimed at millennials. It mirrors the video experience of gaming or watching on a mobile phone, but also swivels into the horizontal or landscape mode of a smartphone. Just way bigger. The 43-inch Sero costs around $1,600 in Korean currency. Because, nope, it's not available in the U.S.
Does that mean you have to, like, change your seat to go sideways, so turn your head? So
No, you can swivel. It's got a base that lets it swivel. But you can have it, you know, like that long vertical look like a smartphone.
Okay, we need that. Thanks, Rasa. Is all that beeping and pinging and dinging driving you nuts? You're not alone. This morning's Gordon Deal has a story.
With Beth Tytel, reporter at the Boston Globe. She's got a great piece entitled "Secondhand Beep Rage." It's a thing. All right, so set this up. I know you looked at a couple of different angles here.
Oh, yes. So I'm so glad I'm getting to talk to you because I've heard from so many, since the story is in this thing, I've heard from so many readers. People are so upset about all the machines in our houses and our cars that are beeping at us, whether it's the microwave or the toaster oven or the oven. Everything has to tell you that it's done. I'm almost done. I'm going to be done. I've been hearing stories from people who have dishwashers that are keeping them up all night or dryers that are waking the babies. We have gotten ourselves in a situation where appliances that used to not tell you what they were doing are now have programmed beeps and sounds in. And there's a reason for it, which is that a lot of the machines have gotten so quiet that there's no natural way to actually know whether they've been turned on or they're working. So the beep does that, but still really drives people crazy. I spoke to a woman who went into, she was in her apartment with her dryer was on. Her cat was sleeping on her face, and her dryer's buzzer went off, her beep went off, and the cat panicked and fled from her face, leaving her with a black eye and all these scratches. So then she went into Lowe's in Worcester, Massachusetts, and said, I'm looking for a washer and dryer that are silent. And then the employee said, but how will you know when your laundry is finished? And she said, is it an emergency? The clothes are going to sit there for 4 days anyway. What's the urgency? So I thought she really handled that well.
That's great. Can we actually make the beeping stop? Is there some button we can flip on inside the hardware of these machines?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Some machines now do have a setting where you can either silence it completely or you can turn the sound way down. But I've been hearing from people who say that they will not buy an appliance unless you can actually silence it. So I think in the future you are potentially going to see machines that have a built-in off switch because people just don't want it. And, of course, the cars are major offenders too. Like, the car will beep to tell you that you're – but there's reasons, you know, safety and other reasons, like beeping to tell you that you're veering slightly from your lane, you know, from your lane, or you're backing up. Or I interviewed a woman who was in the back of a Lyft ride, and the driver was sitting there driving happily without his seatbelt on, and every 30 seconds the beep was going off saying, you're not wearing your seatbelt, you're not wearing your seatbelt. He didn't even seem to notice, she said.
We're speaking with Beth Tytel at the Boston Globe. She's written a piece entitled, Is All That Beeping and Pinging and Dinging? She said, is it driving you crazy because you're not alone one bit? When you break it down, is it the actual sound itself, like the pitch or the volume, or is it just because there are so many beeps and pings in our life?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I think it's some of each. One of my favorite things, I talked to this woman, a great researcher, and she said, you have the Greek concept of chronos, or industrial time, and kairos, which is the more human time, watching a sunset or falling in love. And she said, when a beep goes off, it shuttles you right back to chronos time. So I think it's both to the sound that it makes, but also it eliminates the silence between all those sounds and duties. It kind of makes you always feel like you're on duty.
Gordon Deal with Beth Tytel of the Boston Globe. It's 30 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News.
You know what feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. It's so fast, you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Give yourself further peace of mind with those monthly bills by eliminating debt on those insanely high credit cards by turning to LightStream. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. That's lightstream.com/deal.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal. On this Wednesday, May 1st, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Ross Akay. Some of our top stories and headlines: 2 people killed and 4 others wounded in a shooting at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. Apple posts another quarterly decline in profit and revenue as iPhone sales drop 17%. Jussie Smollett will not return to Empire next season. And an 8-year-old to the rescue. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you live from the Dell Studios. Dell is thanking small businesses this month with up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877 by Dell to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Like many African-American men, the Oscar-nominated director and screenwriter John Singleton long struggled with high blood pressure. The 51-year-old suffered a massive stroke less than 2 weeks ago, and he died Monday after being removed from life support, becoming one of about 140,000 people who die each year from stroke. Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today, takes a look at this serious health problem and has more. Ken, what's the general takeaway here?
This is a unique situation where the family probably saw an opportunity to raise awareness with the certainly the untimely death of John Singleton, who clearly was a very impactful director and screenwriter. And their message is basically geared toward the African-American community, highlighting the fact that both men and women, African-American men and women, face a higher rate of high blood pressure, which increases the risk for stroke, which happened to Mr. Singleton.
Ken, any idea why the higher prevalence of high blood pressure in African-Americans?
That's an area of study, and that's something medical researchers are certainly looking at. It's a preventable thing that you can adjust with lifestyle changes, diet, exercise, etc. And if those things don't work, you can take medication. So that's really sort of the message that a lot of the medical community is trying to get out, and the family, I think, by going public with his condition.
Obviously, this is not the first time we've heard of this, even lately, with actor Luke Perry suffering a stroke. He was like 50 to 52. Is there a lifestyle change that these guys are not making?
Yeah, we don't know the case in Luke Perry. I think we're still awaiting the results of the autopsy and testing from that. So that hasn't been made public yet. Luke Perry, of course, was 52. Mr. Singleton, 51. I think what we know in this case, because the family revealed it, is they had a long history of hypertension, and so that is certainly the primary risk factor for stroke. And that's pretty common. I think 44% of African American men and 48% of African American women have some form of cardiovascular disease and rates of high blood pressure. So that's certainly a big risk factor.
We're speaking with Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today. We're talking about stroke in the wake of the death of acclaimed director John Singleton. Symptoms of high blood pressure are what?
Well, in this case, it's called the silent killer, and you may not notice that you do have high blood pressure, which is one reason that the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology in 2017 kind of studied this issue, and they revised what they consider an elevated blood pressure. They knocked it down to 130 over 80 from 140 over 90. So it's one of those things that you have to be aware of and, you know, continually monitor regardless of race or ethnicity. And that change in 2017 was not without controversy, but the general idea is to raise awareness about this high blood pressure.
It's stunning, the stat you had at the end of your story. 103 million Americans estimated with high blood pressure. That's like a third of the country.
Right, and that's part of the controversy to go with the 2017 guidelines that were revised. Not all doctors necessarily agree with this. They think that's some think it's a little bit aggressive. But, you know, the groups that came out with these guidelines make the point that not everybody with elevated blood pressure is required to take medication. It's more of a kind of an early warning sign of, hey, you may want to look at your diet. You may want to increase your exercise and make those lifestyle changes to get you on a healthy path.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today. It's 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Ross Akay. It's time to go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, with the weather warming up here in the Northeast, it's time to get the roller coasters out of mothballs and gear up for the summer season. Just make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened before your coaster leaves the station. This after a routine safety check of a roller coaster in New Jersey did not go according to plan, and two test dummies were sent crashing into the roof of a nearby hotel. The Gale Force roller coaster at Playland's Castaway Cove in Ocean City was undergoing a safety check on April 20th. Two water-filled test dummies reportedly fell out of the ride and struck the roof of a hotel, causing minor damage to the roof. Fortunately, no one was hurt during the incident. The park's vice president tried to reassure riders by telling Fox News that the issue was with the dummies, not the ride. See, the dummies are made out of a water balloon-type material, and water reportedly leaked out of both of them, allowing them to fall out mid-ride. He contends that a human would not be able to lose shape in such a manner, and that the ride is perfectly safe. If you're brave enough to give it a go this summer, the ride is 125 feet tall and has a launch speed of 64 miles per hour.
A lot of jokes were made about this online.
Yes. Now, I have never ridden this particular ride. It is here in New Jersey, but as you know, I am a season pass holder for our local Six Flags park here in New Jersey, and it doesn't fill me with confidence as we, as my children and I head into the summer season of roller coaster riding.
Would you let your kids go on this ride?
that's a good question. Probably. Most likely, because here's what I know. You know, we don't want to think about it, but what I know is a lot of this stuff happens all the time. I'm guessing this happens in the Six Flags parks all the time, but because they're closed off from the public, we just don't know about it.
I wonder why they use dummies filled with water.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. What about like the dummies used in a crash test for cars or something?
That would make more sense.
I don't think those are filled with water, as far as I can tell. So, we'll have to look further into this. And if you ever feel like quitting, Jen, just think of Vince Carter, a man who apparently doesn't know the meaning of packing it in. The former slam dunk champion announced his intentions to return for his 22nd NBA season, which would be a league record. If a team signs him and he makes it to New Year's, he would also become the only NBA player to play in four different decades, the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. Social media had some fun with the announcement, with some speculating that Carter and Tom Brady are engaged in some kind of game of chicken to see who will retire first. Carter appeared in 76 games with the Atlanta Hawks last season, averaging 7.4 points in 17 minutes a game. Now, to put Carter's longevity into perspective, when he won the NBA Slam Dunk Contest back in the year 2000, Duke star Zion Williamson had not been born yet, leading some to push for next season's dunk contest to feature Carter versus Zion in a battle for the ages.
God bless him. God bless him. My goodness.
It's so funny. I remember hearing his name mentioned, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago when someone was talking about the NBA, and I didn't realize he was still in the league because he's not a star anymore. He's just a bench player. And I was like, is like that Vince Carter? Is there another Vince Carter that I was not aware of? He just keeps trucking along.
To be in that kind of shape and play for that long?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I would actually like to see that slam dunk contest with him versus Zion. I think he gives Zion a run for his money, still now at the age of 42 or whatever he's at.
Not sure about that, but thanks,
we need to make that happen.
Thanks. Coming up, what you need to know about measles.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Well, with the measles outbreak now spreading to 22 states, you may be wondering if you're immune or whether you should get a vaccine. Here's what you should know. The CDC says the vast majority of adults in this country are immune. Outbreaks have largely been confined to schools, churches, religious sects, and other groups with low immunization rates. The CDC says if you lack evidence of immunity and are in any group with a slightly elevated risk of encountering the virus, you should consider getting a measles, mumps, rubella shot. Those groups include healthcare workers, adults about to travel overseas, college students, and anyone living in a neighborhood or community now experiencing a measles outbreak. If you were born in the U.S. before 1957, you're presumed to be immune because virtually everyone caught measles back then. If your medical records indicate you had two doses of measles vaccine, you're also considered immune. A doctor's office can draw blood for an inexpensive test showing whether you have enough measles antibodies to be protected. If you're not sure and you don't want another test, there's no downside at all to getting another vaccine. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Jen, the suspected shooter is in custody after gunfire in a classroom at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte late yesterday killed two people and injured four others. A student nearby says there was no warning.
All I remember it was hearing three shots, and I went down.
An alert sent to students told everyone to run, hide, fight. And the campus was on lockdown for hours as police went door to door to clear buildings. Special Counsel Robert Mueller says Attorney General William Barr's summary of the Trump investigation didn't capture the context, nature, and substance of the findings. In a letter to Barr, Mueller wrote, "There's now public confusion about critical aspects of the probe." Barr is scheduled to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee today and the equivalent House Committee tomorrow. Demonstrators waving Venezuelan flags clashed with troops firing tear gas and even driving a vehicle into their midst in Caracas after National Assembly President Juan Guaido called on the military to rise up and topple President Nicolas Maduro. The Trump administration and senior members of Congress support the move. Idaho Republican Senator James Risch.
This has been coming for some time, and as you know, the United States is firmly entrenched in the position that we support the Venezuelan people's use of their constitution to change presidents.
In a TV address, Maduro claimed to have defeated what he called a military coup attempt, as Guaido appeals to his supporters to hit the streets again today. A Minneapolis jury handed down a guilty verdict against a police officer charged with killing an unarmed Australian woman after she called to report a possible sexual assault behind her home in August 2017. Mohamed Noor is convicted of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter for the shooting death of Justine Damon. She was shot while approaching the officer's patrol car. Empire returns for a sixth season at Fox, but while the studio says it's extending Jussie Smollett's option, it says in a statement there are no plans for his character to return to the show. Smollett's claims of being the victim of a racially and politically motivated homophobic assault devolved into controversy and accusations that he fabricated the story. Washington Redskins legendary quarterback Joe Theismann may let new draft pick Dwayne Haskins wear his number. Theismann wore number 7 during his 12 seasons in Washington and for the Redskins' Super Bowl win in 83. Haskins wore it while playing at high school and at Ohio State University. Theismann says he wants to meet with Haskins about it.
And the cool part of this story is that Haskins asked Theismann first if he could wear that number. So
it's all cool.
It is, and I think he'll be wearing number 7, Haskins.
Love it.
Coming up, an 8-year-old saves his sister.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa K. Reminder, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. A police department in Ohio is praising the actions of an 8-year-old boy after he saved himself and his sister from an attempted kidnapping last week when their grandmother's vehicle was stolen. The incident happened in Middletown, Ohio, after the children's grandmother had gotten out of the vehicle while taking another woman into the emergency room at a hospital, and a 24-year-old man jumped into the driver's seat. That spurred the boy, identified by Middletown police as Chance, and his sister Skylar to take action as the vehicle sped away. As the vehicle began to take off, Chance opened the door of the vehicle to escape as his sister attempted to jump until the man grabbed the girl's hoodie. Chance told Fox News he started screaming and eventually grabbed his sister and pulled her away from the man, sending both kids tumbling out of the car. The grandmother of the children made a valiant effort to save the kids by trying to grab onto a door before being dragged. She did not suffer any serious injuries after the incident. The potential abductor, who police say is addicted to heroin, was taken into custody and charged with 2 counts of kidnapping, felonious assault, and grand theft. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa K, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.